to God. Let's dig into the text. First point being, Christ has prepared a way for all of us to be near God. Hebrews 10, 19, 20 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh." Jesus Christ prepared a way for you and I to come directly into the presence of Almighty God. Under the old Levitical system, the old Mosaic system, the only person that could enter into the Holy of Holies was the high priest. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant was in there, and it was representative of the person of God. And so therefore, the access was limited to only one person, and he could only go in so many times a year. And when he went in, he better be right, or else he wouldn't come out alive. But Jesus, in his love for us, made a way so each one of us individually, personally, or collectively, could come before the divine presence of Almighty God. Now, why did he do it? He did it because he loved us. Why did he do it? He did it because no one else could do it. And how did he do it? That's really a good question, because he did it through the shedding of his blood. And here the writer puts emphasis on the word boldness. Amen. He said, having boldness, amen, and we enter the holiest. And it takes some boldness. It takes some courage to come before God and to tell him exactly what's going on in our lives. But we can have boldness to approach the throne of God because Jesus Christ opened up the way for us to enter into the Holy of Holies. We can come before the throne. We can come into the throne room and there experience the presence of Almighty God. And now, you know why we can go in with boldness? We can go in with boldness because that is our place of worship. That is the place from which our blessings flow. That is the place where our prayers are directed to the throne of Almighty God. Now, those of us who still have parents living, you know how it is when you go over to mom and daddy's house. You walk in and you just say, "Hey, what's up? What y'all doing?" Go to the refrigerator, look in there, get what you want, and say, "What's for dinner?" Why do we do it that way? Because we feel right at home in our parents' house. And many of us have keys to our parents' house, so we don't ring the doorbell, we don't knock, we just take the key, open the door, go in, and get in the refrigerator. What y'all having for dinner? You know, and go head on and enjoy the present. God is saying to us, because we are his children, because Christ has made a way that we can come before him boldly, amen, and let our requests be made known unto him. Now, that's at mom and daddy's house. Now, you know what's up when you go home, don't you? You come to your house, you don't ask no questions. You go in, you check the fridge, you check the pantry, you do whatever you want, and you do it because you are at home. And you're in your place of residence. Well, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I can enter into the presence of God with boldness and assurance because Jesus died for our sins. Now, this is not just any old way that he has prepared. It is a new way which represents us going through the veil, and the veil being his personal flesh. It's a new way, and it is a living way. This is the way, this is the path to eternal life. that you and I can take because Jesus has prepared a way for us. Now, the flesh that was torn during his crucifixion was the veil that is being spoken of here that symbolically allows you and I to go into the Holy of Holies. It is that veil that separated men from the Ark of the Covenant, from the presence of Almighty God. Jesus opened the way that we might follow him. He said when he was here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So when I look at this and I give thought to it, the way made a way for you and I. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm glad that he opened the way for you and I so that we could come personally and tell God everything that we want to tell him. But moreover, that we can come in and feel the comfort, the peace, the love of God for ourselves and not just hear about it from someone else. Each of us can personally experience God's divine presence if we would just enter in with boldness. So if you're going to draw near, be bold enough to step on up and walk in and enjoy the blessings of Almighty God. Then we can draw near because of our high priest. And in Hebrews 10:21 it says, and having a high priest over the house of God, Jesus is our high priest. He is over the house of God. Jesus is a high priest who can be touched with our infirmities. Amen. He can be touched because he can identify, amen, with you and me because he's been tempted in every way we have. The Bible says, yet without sin. The Jews under the Mosaic system had an imperfect and incomplete list of provisions. But under the new covenant, you and I have an infinitely, amen, complete. We have better provisions than those before us ever had because we have a perfect, we have a high priest who is the Son of God. We have a high priest who is our Lord and our Savior. We have a high priest who has all power and heaven and earth in his hands and through his actions. Amen. You and I can come boldly before the throne of God, and because he, our high priest, is over the house of God. Now, Let me help you with this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, it says, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are being tempted. Now, isn't it nice when you have somebody that you can talk to who has been through that experience? Don't ever tell somebody who's lost a loved one, I know how you feel, and you never lost one. You know, if your mama's living, don't tell somebody, I know how you feel, and they lost their mama or their daddy, because you really don't know. You can only think how it might feel. But when yours is gone, you know exactly how it feels. Amen. When Pete called me and when my mother passed, I knew, I could hear that from Pete because Pete's mother has been gone. And we need to be sure that we are in a position to comfort, to aid, to help others based on the Word of God and those experiences that God has brought us through. Amen. So he was made like us so he could experience what you and I experience. And in that, be merciful to us and be faithful to you and to me. Now, when he put on human flesh, that was demonstrating his mercy to you and I. Amen. And when he became the propitiation, and propitiation simply means to satisfy. When he satisfied the righteous justice of God, amen, he became the propitiation for our sins. And with that, he fully satisfied God's just demand. Jesus paid the full requirement for the sins of all who put their faith in him. Experiencing temptation, Jesus became completely capable of understanding and sympathizing with you and me when we're tempted. And the reason he can really understand, the reason he can really sympathize with us, is because he felt the full pressure of temptation. Amen. He felt the full pressure of temptation because he resisted it. And see, with you and I, it's rare that we ever feel the full pressure. You know why? Because we often yield before we have the victory. And temptation takes over. And we just felt a little bit of, but Jesus felt all the pressure that temptation could put on a person. And as our high priest, he still did not sin. He still had the victory. But let me encourage you. Let's get closer to the Lord. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true, sincere, if you would, heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled or clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, because of all that Christ has done for us, we should all want to get closer to him. And the admonition from the writer of Hebrews is that we do what? We draw nearer to the Lord. And believe me, this is repeated numerous times throughout Scripture. Asa in Psalm 73 said, draw near, come close to God. Jeremiah in the 30th chapter said we should draw near to God. We should come close to him. Amen. And then James in James 4:8, he says draw. And he's talking about the reciprocatory part of drawing near to God. Because James in James 4:8, he said draw near to God. And if you do that, he'll draw near to you. So God is not just asking you to come all the way to me. God is saying in his word that if you take one step, I'll take a step. If your heart is clean and it's been sprinkled by the word, you have a sincere desire to know me. God is saying, and you start in my direction, I'm going to start in yours. Y'all remember the parable of the prodigal son, don't you? Says the father was watching for him, waiting for him to come back. And when he saw him, the Bible says that the father took off running towards the son. And to me, that says that if we begin to move towards God, amen, we begin to move to get closer to him, he's going to begin to move and come closer to us. So oftentimes, we treat God like we treat one another. I ain't coming over there. You want to talk to me, you come over here. Oh, wait a minute. Y'all want to play crazy this morning, don't you? I'll ask the men. I better ask the women. How many times your husband played crazy and didn't want to talk to you unless you came talk to him first? Y'all ain't got to be scared of him. God got your back. Amen. I know. You know why? Because I'm a man. And sometimes we just feel like, you know, hey, you need to talk to me, you know. And because my wife will tell you how crazy I am, love her with all my heart, and she knows it. But sometimes she has to pray for me. What'd you say? And then when she really wants to whip it on me, she'll say, "Now, Pastor Mobley." And you know she has my undivided attention at that point. And I start doing that inventory like, "Lord, forgive me, because I know I'm doing the wrong thing." But it does happen sometimes. God wants us to draw near to him with sincere hearts. He wants us to draw near to him with hearts that don't have ulterior motives. Amen. True hearts, pure hearts, hearts that have total confidence in the blessings and the promises of Almighty God. Our hearts are to be sprinkled, which symbolizes cleanse, amen, and our lives are to be purified through the washing of water, and it's not baptism, through the water of the Word of God, which is applied to our lives by the Holy Spirit, amen, that makes us clean, that we can come closer to God. Remember I said you just can't come any old way? You got to come with your heart right, your mind right, your motives right, your desire right, in order to truly approach God. Sometimes we wonder why God not answering our prayers. We need to go back and look at him and say, "Lord, does this prayer come anywhere close to matching your word?" And if it's not lining up with the word of God, if we're not praying according to his will, then we know why we're not getting the answer that we desire. Korah, the writer of Psalm 42, wrote in that psalm, in the first and second verse, what it looks like to truly have a heart and a desire to be close to God. And he wrote, he said, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God." And if you could just get the imagery in your mind to know a deer who has been running for his life, has been fleeing from animals or maybe even hunters, and he finally gets out of their vicinity. The one thing that's on that deer's mind is that if I could just have some water to cool my thirst. And Asa, or Korah, I should say, took this imagery and translated it to the Word of God to demonstrate his passion or the urgency that he felt as a desire to be closer to God. And in your spiritual mind, if you could just look and see what that deer looks like with its heart beating fast and desiring to be in the presence of refreshment. And when we come into the presence of God, he does refresh us. He said, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And when our souls thirst for God, God says that he will send rains of refreshing for our spirits. Then, as we strive to get closer to God, let me encourage you, the writer says, hold on. So let's hold on. In Psalm 10:23, it said, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Holding on is part of the perseverance of the saints. It's the human side of eternal security. It's not that we're holding on to something in order to secure our salvation, but we hold on as an evidence or indication that we are truly saved. Our confession, amen, is an affirmation that we really know Jesus Christ. And without wavering, it says, because God is faithful. Now, have you ever watched a tree in a storm? Some trees, they'll do pretty good until the storm gets strong enough, and ultimately, they topple over. And you come out and you look and the roots are all up on top of the ground and the tree is laying flat or maybe on somebody's house. But if you look at an oak tree stands tall and it doesn't matter how strong the wind blows or what comes against it, it just stands there. And when the storm is ended and the sun rises and you look out, that tree is still standing right where God planted it. And we need to be like the oak tree, that when the storms of life are raging, we ought to hold on. Amen. When the winds of confusion are blowing, I can't speak for nobody, but I'm going to hold on. When hell is falling all around, I am going to hold on. When doubt begins to fill the mind, I'm going to hold on. When hellhounds are on my trail, I am going to hold on. When the flames of hell are popping up all around me, I'm going to hold on to my faith because I know that God is faithful. Hold on is what he says. Yeah, I'm going to hold on because I'm going to put on the whole armor of God. I'm going to put on the helmet of salvation. I'm going to shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel. I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And I'm going to wrap myself up in the garment that God has prepared for those who are going to do battle for him. And when that happens, I can stand back and say, when my friends and my foes forsake me, when my family walks away and they forsake me, I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand because he is faithful. If I could call a witness this morning, I would call Daniel. And I said, Daniel, what do you know about God's faithfulness? And I believe Daniel would say that when they threw me into the den of lions, before I hit the floor, God's angel was there waiting for me, calmed the lions down, and we rested together all night long. I can tell you, God is faithful. Hold on. Oh, let me call one more. In essence, I guess it's really three. But if I can call the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and say, what do you know about the faithfulness of Almighty God? I believe they would say, well, we told Nebuchadnezzar we wasn't going to bow down and worship him. It didn't even matter what he did to us because our God is able. And he is a faithful God. They heated the furnace up 7 times hotter than they normally do. And they threw us in to the flames. Oh, but when we came into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, he was already there. The flames didn't burn our clothes. The flames didn't singe our hair. We were not bothered by the flames down there in the fiery furnace. But I will tell you what I heard. I heard that the king looked in and said, did we not throw in 3?
And somebody said, yeah, he said, but I see four, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Well, I want to stop right there as I head to a close. The Son of God is Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness. He is the faithful judge. He is Alpha and he is Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. He is the Lion of Judah. Amen. He's the bright and he's the morning star. And he is our faithful God because he died for our salvation. He rose for our justification. Yes, he did. And I just want him to draw me nearer. The songwriter said, draw me nearer, near, O blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. I don't know about you, but I want to be closer to him. I'm confident that if I draw nearer, I'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And it won't matter what the storm does, I'll still stand, amen, and I'll be strong because my God is faithful. Amen. Revelation says that tree brings forth its fruit in a season. The only way that you and I can be like that tree is to be nearer to our Lord, closer to our Savior, in the presence of our God. Let me challenge you. Now let me encourage you that every day of your life, every day God allows you to take a breath, purpose to draw closer to him. Ask him, Lord, what is it you want me to do today? Holy Spirit, take control of my life. Lord, draw me closer. I want to be closer to you. I wish that I could sing like Raymond Davis. Pastor Raymond Davis sang a song, Draw Me Nearer, like nobody ever sang it before. I think it's one of the few songs he recorded. But each of us, our desire, our purpose in life should be close to God as we possibly can until the day he calls us home. Remember, this world is not your home. You're just passing through. Pastor Trey said it two or three times this morning in discipleship. Many of us are building houses when we ought to be pitching tents because we didn't come here to stay. When I leave here, I want my mansion. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Draw nearer to God. Let me encourage you to do that. Stand with me as we